Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to High School Hoops. This week, we're going to do a little different. I haven't done this before. We're going to talk about coaching youth hoops. But before we do that, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. We own three of them. Go over and check them out. They're being innovative. They will take unbelievably good care of you. You can ask James, let them know that I sent you. They will take good care of you. They'll give you $450 off, but they'll take really, really, really good care of you. I trust me. We have a great relationship with Dr. Dish. What I was saying before is kind of hijacked High School Hoops this week, because if you're a high school coach, you have a youth program. If you don't, we got to talk. But Coach Bill and I launched coaching youth hoops a week and a half ago. It's everything your youth program needs. It's a roadmap. It's practice plans. It's the drills. It's everything. You can just boom, sign it. And there's a form over there where you can email us, go over to coachingyouthhoops.com. Contact us and we can figure it out for your entire youth program, or just maybe you're a youth coach and want to help your son or daughter out. So it's everything that you need. We're going to talk about the site. So if you're listening to this, you can go down to the YouTube link down below. And we're going to answer questions from youth coaches about the struggles that they have. And as a high school coach, I want to know that. I want to know the struggles that they're having. So go over and check it out. And let's head off to the podcast.
Coaches, if you don't mind, turn on your video too. We'd love to see your faces and have a quick chat.
Yeah, this is kind of like a thing. I'm on Zoom pretty much all the time. So
there you go.
Yeah, it's part of the job. Part of the job.
I spent a whole year on Zoom in this room, actually. It was horrible for teaching. It's horrible. I hated it. But anyway, made me clean up my office. All right, we'll give everybody a couple more minutes. Hey, in the chat, why don't you tell me where you coach or what grade level you coach? Where are you coaching the grade level? See if we can get it over in the chat.
So or, city and grade?
Yeah, or city, something state, like that. Grade? I just more interested.
Yeah, or what? Yeah. Grade school or whatever you're doing, if you have an AAU team or...
Well, I know where Decanter is. Shoot. Fort White, Florida. Okay, Alex, where is that in Florida?
So it's I want to say it's about 30 minutes outside of Gainesville.
Okay, I know where that is. Yep.
So have you ever heard of Alachua?
Uh huh.
Yeah, I'm two towns over from Alachua.
Okay. Yeah, our dogs are named Sanibel and Disney, so we've spent a little time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
There's no Sanibel anymore because the hurricane went over the island, but We still love it.
Oh, so you can't Ohio here.
DC. Love DC. Minnesota. Cape Cod. Oh, I proposed to my wife on the Cape. Where did we stay? It was on Sunset. We couldn't find a place to park. They were like, we couldn't find. Anyway, I eventually did it. What was it? Beechworth, Beach something was the bed and breakfast we stayed at. But Springfield, Illinois.
We have nobody west of the Mississippi yet, Coach.
I know.
Well, California people. It's 5:00 here.
Canton. My daughter's going to Ohio, so Baldwin Wallace for college. So I'm
from Akron, Ohio. Not
you are. Yeah, right. My sister-in-law lives in outside of Columbus in New Albany, so I've spent some time in Ohio.
Yeah.
But I hadn't heard of Baldwin Wallace until my daughter decided she wanted to be an actress. So
good school.
Yeah, I think so. She seems, and she got in the BFA program, so she's pretty excited. All right, we'll give another minute or so, you think, Coach, and then we'll get going.
Yeah, absolutely.
For those of you that don't know or don't listen to the podcast, I'm a stats teacher, and I teach AP stats, and the test is tomorrow. The AP test is tomorrow. So I'm calm now because it's over. I can't do anything. If they don't know it by now, I can't do anything. So it's the calm. And then they'll all come yell at me on Friday that we didn't learn anything. And
just like coaching.
It's similar to coaching. Yeah. Similar to coaching.
Do you get the parent phone calls, though?
Me? And for that?
For teaching.
No, I don't as much. All right, Keith's coming in. All right, Coach, you want to take the lead on this? I think we're just going to – are we going to go off of asking them some questions and stuff?
Yeah. We'll just start there. We'll have a conversation. What you guys need, looking for? So anyway, guys, thanks.
And we got a bunch of stuff to give away at the end too. So people that have joined, we're going to give that IC3 away, and then we've got a bunch of other stuff, some really cool stuff that we're going to give away at the end too. So stick around to the end, even though hopefully this is useful for all of you, but. And if you don't want to shout it out, you can put it in the chat too, as we want to make this the best thing for all of you. That's why we're kind of doing this beta thing before the season starts in the fall. So the more input we can get, the better off we're going to be. Go ahead, Coach. I'm sorry.
No, you're doing good. So you got to stick around to the end. What did we say? We got about 3 hours worth of material that we're going through.
3 hours. I have sushi in the refrigerator, and I live in Wisconsin, so it won't last very long.
It's already 10 days old if it's sushi in Wisconsin. All right. Yeah. While it actually just made me think about this too. If you want to shout out or just in the chat, when does your season start? So we know, you know, and at least in the States, we're a little bit early for most coaches. Alex, he's in it. He's in the thick of it right now. As people were, signing up and such. Yeah. I noticed that some of you guys, have an early season or you're playing summer ball. So that's awesome. So if you haven't signed up yet for Coaching Youth Hoops, go to coachingyouthhoops.com. There's still time to win that IC3 because we're giving it away at the end. So if you haven't taken the leap of faith here and trusted Steve and I that we're going to deliver an amazing product, just like a lot of you already have, now's the time, the last chance to win that IC3. So go to Coaching Youth Hoops right now, sign up, and we'll see that. And we'll see that for the drawing at the end. But the other things, go ahead, Coach.
Go ahead. And Alex, when we jump in and start asking things that you want in, we're kind of building it. This is a beta. We're still building the thing, obviously, and putting stuff in. We've got tons of stuff we can put in. It takes a while to do it. So when we get to that that question and answer, let us know what you need now, because we can get that. We'll get that in as soon as we can. We're just trying to build it because it looks like most people are starting in the fall. So that's kind of what we're thinking. But if people need stuff now, like I'm slowly putting some workout stuff in there. Stuff you can do in the driveway, that kind of stuff, ball handling stuff. So I know people need that in the summer, but when we get to that, I just didn't want to forget. Let us know, and we'll find what you need for sure. Go ahead, Coach. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're good. So yeah, so let's maybe take a step back of why, you know, why we're doing this in the first place, right? You know, a lot of us, including myself, when I first started coaching, you know, we're struggling putting practice plans together, knowing that we put the right practice plan in place, finding the material, searching Google, going to YouTube, you know, finding the drills, knowing if they're, you know, if the you know, kids are developed enough to even do the drill we're asking them to do, or the offense we're asking them to run. But the good news is we, you know, we created this roadmap for you, and we're laying it all out. Steve and I've been coaching a long time. So we kind of know what works at what age, right, and when you actually should be putting, things in and implementing things.
It's like I told you the whole reason. So I have coached for, I've coached for really, if you know anything about me, even basketball, won a lot of games. I've been very lucky. I've coached a really long time. I think I know basketball really well. I told Bill this a long time ago. The reason this, the need for this is, well, I've coached my kids in soccer and baseball and sports. I would have killed this. We're building this for me as a baseball coach or me as a soccer coach, where I kind of know it, but I don't really know it. And our goal is to have everything you guys need. If we don't have it, we'll build it. But everything you need as far as, here's your practice plans, I just put up recently, and Coach will show you in a second, like preseason, what do you need to do preseason? Checklist, how do you deal with parent meeting? All the stuff that we've had to do, and I've had to do running my own youth program. That's our goal, is to kind of, and that's what I always have in my head. What would I have killed to go walk to the Little League diamond? What would I have wanted? What would I have wanted for those kind of things? Even though I know baseball, I don't know baseball. Like, I don't know it like I know basketball. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, and I think to that point, too, is what we want to emphasize is we have time, right? Again, a lot of coaches are starting in the fall. So we want to build this to solve your problems. And even when you're in season, it's like, oh, how do I beat 1-3-1? Although that would probably already be in there, but as an example, right? Some particular defense that you're running up against. Just reach out to us.
Yeah, I'll tell you. So I needed the perfect press break. I already have some press break stuff, but I already thought about what people need. Because what happens? The better team comes, they press you, you can't get it over half court, you know, all those kind of things. So we kind of know that those avenues that we're going to eventually have to get down for all of you. Do you want to show them some of this, Coach? I know, you know, we've been pretty busy in that class. Yeah, or
absolutely. Yeah, and our whole goal here is obviously just save you guys time, right? I don't know about you, but when I was coaching, youth is the amount of time that I put into a practice plan to make sure that it keeps moving, right? Hopefully we've done all the hard work for you so you can just follow the plan step by step, you know, grade specific as well. So, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 hours a week, depending on how hardcore you are when it comes to putting a practice plan together and getting the right drill. So hopefully we have that down. All right. What did I do with it here, Coach? Here we go.
It's like teaching 101. It's like me today, you know.
Let's see.
I think I got it so you could share. There you go, Coach. Okay.
We good? You can see my screen? All right. Let's go back out to the courses. So when you first log in, you'll see a screen that looks like this. There's an intro video of Steve and I just welcoming you in class, kind of how to use the course. It's pretty simple. It's kind of follow the steps. And just what's included. We have a roadmap for you, just a simple roadmap, kind of a framework that you can follow to use throughout your season. I am showing, obviously, the 7th grade practice plans here. You can see that. So we have practice plans specific for 7th grade, coaches, resources, and handbooks, as Steve talked about. man offense, zone offense, press and press breaks, out of bounds plays, drills, games, small sided games, ball handling, rebounding. I mean, it should be everything that you might need.
And we're going to be, and we're transparent. This is beta. We're giving you beta prices. We'll leave the beta prices for as long as you stay, but we're going to be building. Like, the problem is I have so much information. I got to sift through what's good for specific grades. And we spent the last month kind of doing this up to this point. Over the next month or two, you know, again, if someone's coaching summer and they need something, we will find it for you. So we just want to be transparent about that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. And then you can see all the material as you scroll down, it's all categorized. So hopefully we got the categories correct on how you might think about what you need. So man-to-man offense, zone offense, press breaks, out-of-bounds plays, offensive drills, etc. Then you just scroll down and see everything there. And then you can open up, we'll take a look at the practice plans, for example. They're by practice. So there's 24 practice plans that are included when you buy the Coaching Youth Hoops system. And they're just, you can, from here, you can just download the practice plan. You can access it from your phone, just as a PDF. If you haven't seen these before, some of you, you know, this might all look familiar to some of you who bought them, but they're all laid out. So that was practice, kind of practice one, just kind of intro practice, right? But you will see then you got all through 24. It's a progression throughout the season. All right, next, here's the coach's roadmap I was talking about. You can see that here as well. All the resources you need, just walk you through kind of our five-step thought process on things you need to do throughout the season. And you can see we've added, you know, offensive examples.
Go to the engagement. The engagement thing is a fun thing too. If you're looking for something to do outside of basketball.
Oh, this one, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. If you're looking for something to do outside of basketball, you know, ideas for, you know, it's a little bit of everything. Things you can do as far as your team engagement.
Kind of team building and things. Yeah.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It'd be hard to do team yoga with second graders, but anyway, depending on the grade level, there's kind of a lot of fun, different things. I've done a bunch of these things with my team. You can make a TikTok with your team, but anyway.
Yeah, we can't forget that basketball is supposed to be fun too, right?
Yeah. Play. If you go down to the preseason thing too, there's a checklist down there. There's I love that handout too. Like, yeah, the preseason, that roadmap kind of will walk. Now this is kind of heavy. You're going to probably have to print this off and read it. But it's going to walk you through kind of a guide. The best part is inside of that, we're going to have like a checklist. We're going to have, you know, do you have to meet with your youth director, or your varsity coach? Do you have to, you know, all of the things that kind of go into the preseason. And inside of that specific course, there's a checklist too. So if coach goes back and you can see there's a checklist of things that, you know, what do you need? Do you need basketball? All the stuff you don't think about. Some people that have coached won't need this. Some people will dive into more of some of the nuances, but things that I've thought about in terms of, you know, parents, the more you can get the parents to do stuff for you, the better off you are sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So that's just, you know, kind of a high level overview of what to expect. And obviously this is all about being age appropriate. So obviously the K through two is much different than what the eighth grade team is going to get. So.
Somebody in here. Let's open it up for questions before we go do the, so we get some good questions answered.
Yeah.
Go and do the give away the stuff.
If you know how to use Zoom, you can just either use the tool to raise your
hand. Yeah, once you stop the share there, coach. There you go. Perfect. Awesome. So, yeah, go ahead, Alex.
So this is kind of like where I maybe need some help. So I've coached previously, but I've coached JV, varsity. I've never been a middle school coach before. And there's one thing about teaching players at the JV level that they have obviously have some experience, and it's easier to kind of just highlight and do some add-on training. Where I'm at now is the program that I'm taking over, the kids I had last year, they have never played basketball before. And that was very difficult for me because I've never had to teach somebody actually how to play the game itself, at least not at that level. Like basically I'm starting from scratch. So just to give you guys a heads up, kind of what I'm looking for is how do I kind of bridge that gap? Cause now this team I have coming up this year, I want to say I have three 7th graders, 4 6th graders that will be moving up. So next year I'll have 3 8th graders, 4 7th graders, and I'm looking to add a couple 6th graders. And what I'm looking for is how do I kind of bridge that gap from what I know of the game to actually teaching kids who have never played, and kind of building that camaraderie, or that building a really good program, because that's kind of what I'm looking to do, because we really haven't had that in a very long time.
I'm gonna let Bill jump on this, but can you give me a scale of like none of them have played, dribble, can they shoot, what, give us a spectrum here a little bit.
So I had to kind of makeshift things where I had two players who could dribble. I had a kid who was 6'1", who was 13 years old, and now he's 6'2", and he's a monster. Now he's going to 9th grade. But I basically had to, he couldn't really shoot. He was very athletic, could run really fast. And I just tried to keep it simple. Rebound, don't shoot three, stay inside the paint. You're taller than everybody. Just get rebounds, get putbacks. I had two kids who could dribble. I have one kid who's just really athletic. He just has a nose for the basketball. Like he's just one of those, like wherever the basketball is at, he gets it, he puts it back in. But none of my kids can shoot at all. And I only had one that could dribble who was in 8th grade. He's now moving up to 9th grade. So now I have one 6th grader who's a pretty decent ball handler, but he can't shoot. And the other kids are kind of like in that middle area where they're not very good ball handlers or not very good shooters, but they want to learn. Like they work really hard. It's just trying to teach them exactly. Like I don't even know if like form shooting is even important at this stage in time. Like, is it even possible for me to teach them form shooting, or do I just work with kind of what they already have and just try to accent on that?
Go ahead, Bill. I got a bunch of ideas.
Yeah. So how many practices do you have a week?
If we don't have a game, we typically practice every day but Friday. So I would say in a season that starts in November, ends in the end of January, I probably say we probably get about 20, 25, maybe even 30 practices. And we get a lot of practice time.
Okay. So you got enough practice time in there. How long each?
However long I want them. If I want them 2 hours, we can do 2 hours. If I want it to be an hour, it could be an hour. It just depends on what I want to do.
Okay. So you have some flexibility in that. That's awesome. Okay, good. In a nutshell, just fundamentals, seriously. And just work on passing, shooting, dribbling. Don't worry about a particular offense. I mean, they're not going to be able, if they're that young of players and basketball IQ, you're going to struggle having them just know spacing and running an offense. Not to say you can't do that, something simple like a five out, but what I'm, not too complicated, and put all of your time and energy on fundamentals and scrimmages, small sided games, 3-on-3, 2-on-2, even 1-on-1. Teach them how to play the game first. But you can't get anywhere if they don't know how to dribble, shoot, pass, right?
So let me jump in for a second. Yeah. So a couple of questions, and there's some comments over the side that we can answer too.
Yeah.
If you want to look at those. So here's what I would do. I just put some stuff for small-sided, but I got a ton of small-sided stuff I'm going to be putting in. So I would do a lot of that. One-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, a lot of that.
Okay.
Because you can't hide, right? That you want them to dribble. You want them to, you know, pass. You want them to have to, you know, ball handle, do all the things that you have to do to be a basketball player. So I would spend a lot of time on that because they'll enjoy that and they're playing. And if they're, especially if they're about the same ability. Every practice, personally, I've spent a lot of time on ball handling, okay. Just because it's the first thing that kids, I mean, if you go to a park and you see a 5-6-year-old, that's the first thing they learn to do. So they have to learn to dribble because you won't be able to do anything if they can't dribble. The shooting stuff will come, the passing stuff, all the nuances of the game, the passing if they're playing 2-on-2, but they got to be able to dribble effectively. Now, the 6'2 kid is probably going to be big. He might not have to as much, but the rest of them, I would dribble, 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 dribble. You can play dribble. There's all sorts of different fun ways you can do dribbling that we'll put in inside. But that would be number one. Number two would be shooting close to the basket. So if they can't shoot, don't let them shoot long threes and long ones. I would try to keep them close to the rack as much as possible. So working on layups, working on offhand layups, working on pressure on layups. The teams you play, how are they in comparison to you?
So that's actually really interesting. So last year, we started off, I want to say 1-7. We had two kids quit, and then we won the last 2 out of 3. And it was like something clicked. And so the teams that we play, there's one particular team, named Williston, and all their kids play AAU. They play travel ball. Like their kids are in it.
Really good. Yeah.
They go to state every year. Williston High School, the other schools, you know, they have players that play, they have like one or two kids, and a lot of kids are multi-sport athletes. So, I think we're probably like maybe a year away. I mean, they're a little bit better, but they've had a lot more experience than the kids that I have. So that's kind of what I'm after. Is that's the reason why I have so many sixth graders and seventh graders. I'm just trying to get as kids as much playing time as possible.
And that's where that small sided thing will help a lot too. Anything else, Bill, before we go on?
Footwork. I mean, that was the only other thing that often gets overlooked, but I mean, you don't necessarily have to do specific drills for footwork, but pay attention to it, in their shooting and their passing. I think it's one of those things that's often overlooked at the youth level. And if you can start there with good footwork on just the way your feet are supposed to be positioned on a pass or on your shot too, right?
I agree.
But I think that's good, Alex. If you can just work on the fundamentals, it might look ugly in the beginning, but like you said, it's definitely going to click towards the end.
It will. It will. Okay. All right. I don't know who is first, but I'll just call on Keith in my upper left corner. So I'll call on him first.
Yeah. All good. Hey, how's it going? I'm from Australia, so it's a bit less intense over here. It seems like.
Oh, so you're way under. So you're winter's coming. Winter's coming, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But it seems like it's really involved. And I mean, it's huge in the US. In Australia, it's a bit less, and I'm coaching. Currently, I just coach my son's team and his cousin's team, which is like 11s and 12s. Our thing is like, I get them for 1 hour a week.
Oof.
I mean, it's so I'm trying to figure out what can I fit in without fitting in too much. And since I have them only for an hour, like most of their improvements probably going to come outside of it. So what can I do to sort of get them motivated outside of the 1 hour that I have?
What grade level?
11, 12-year-olds at the moment.
12-year-olds. Okay, yeah. So that would be...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's been a while. Fifth graders, sixth graders?
That'd be fifth or sixth grade.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a while. I'm going, all right, but I remember my son was in kindergarten and so fifth or sixth. Okay.
Totally fine. I've got one in that grade. That's all.
Okay. Well, and, you know, I heard something, and, you'll hear it on the upcoming podcast. And give them the best gift you can give them is to give them the gift of basketball and the gift of joy. And what I mean by that is the coach that I was interviewing, he's talking about just got to get them to love the game. And something you brought up, they, in your particular case, got to get them to practice on their own. And they're going to do it if your number one job in that hour is you're their biggest fan, right? You're the cheerleader, right? That's got to be top priority for you so that they are excited to go home and do something on their own. So, for example, one of the things I think we talked about, well, you'll hear this on one of the upcoming podcasts, is the gift of shooting. You teach someone how to shoot the right way because that's really, right? We want to see the ball go in the basket and we get all excited and right, you know, and how many times have we said to our own kids, I'll give you, you know, we'll stop at, you know, wherever, Krispy Kreme and grab a donut if you score 10 points, right? So, you know, we want to see our kids score. The kids want to score. So teach them in your practice, teach them one thing that will just light them up. Right. And that's the gift you're going to give them. So they get excited and work on their own. Right. And be very processed. So they can teach someone, you know, that's kind of the mentality you kind of want, that they can go home and teach their parent. Cause then look what I learned today. Right. And you know, like for me, when I'm teaching shooting, a great example is that, you know, I have this little saying I always do, ball to the thigh, thumb to the eye, hand to the sky, you know, follow through, right? And so they just, you know, something for easy for them to pick up. Anyway, that was kind of my two cents.
It's a couple things. First of all, is it soccer? What's the biggest in Australia? Biggest sport?
I'd probably say football, like rugby.
Rugby. Well, mm-hmm. I'm just saying basketball is probably down a little ways, a little bit. It's not quite like the UK probably. So you got a part of it's a sales part of it too. Is there opportunity for them to play outside of that hour, like 3-on-3 leagues or 2-on-2 leagues or things like that?
Oh, so I mean the level that I'm teaching, it's a mix. Like, I mean, my son's played for like 2 years or so, and then I've got kids in the team that are brand new.
Never played.
And I still have to balance like not making my son bored versus teaching other kids.
Yeah.
How can I teach high level skills and low in the same session?
You can. I'm assuming you have a full court, right? You have a full court?
I'm on a half court.
On a half
one basket, yeah. Or yes. Just one basket?
Yeah, I'm on a side, it's a full court that I have to share with because we've got different club teams. But yeah, even this week I'm trying to get them to do like a practice there, just their transition offense, and I got to split it into outlet, get up the court, and then the other half, which is, you know, just pass ahead, kick it ahead, because they're having some real trouble with that. And I'm thinking maybe it's because we're limited to the half court.
Yeah, I was talking to a coach recently from Australia, and the problem is space, Bill. It really is like,
yeah,
gym space. We think we have problems with gym space. Their clubs there are starting to build spaces because they don't have enough gym space. I would do a lot of skill work in that half court then, because then you can walk around while they're doing like ball handling, doing some stuff like that, and you can. I would try to put the more talent. I would try to do a little bit of talented and gifted things too, and have the talent to have try to group a little bit with these kids are a little bit more farther advanced than the kids that are just, this is the first time they've ever picked up a basketball.
Well, and as an example with, you know, what of that, and sometimes what I do is, you know, I'll go up to one of the more advanced kids. If we're doing like, just take a simple layup drill, right? They're doing simple layups. I'll go up to the advanced kid and say, hey, kind of whisper in there. I want you to do an inside left hand finish, right? I want you to work on that, right? Because, you know, he can do left-handed, right-handed layups, no problem, right? But, you know, whatever, find those little things we do this tennis ball drop drill where we're doing kind of a timing drill, and the advanced kids have to do more crossover dribbles than the other one by the time the tennis ball drops, right? So it's that's how you can get a sneak in a little bit more, at least on the skill side.
And if your son's like, somebody put in the chat, that home court app is a really good app too. Somebody put that in the chat, and it is like anything like that, that you can kind of hook them. Like they can do it at home. It's going to be outside. Obviously it's going to be harder to get outside, but anything like that, they can, like, we have shooting machines in our gym just because it hooks the guys, get some more shots too. But it's a hook. It's like, ooh, this is kind of cool because they're in the flashy kind of. So anything like that that you can find, I think that was Martin who said that, but that's a great, like, that's true. Anything like that that you can find that can get a little bit of hook, because ideally you want them to play outside of the hours. The hours definitely recreational at that point. That's a first. That little amount of time on a half a basket is. That's going to be hard to get anything done inside of practice.
And it's like 6 months. Oh, I mean, we have like 13 regular games, and then you could change up teams. So,
right,
it could be a different team that you're coaching. So
it sounds like for the U.S., it sounds like upward almost, Bill. Like, you know, that upward of the younger ages. It's like that's almost what it sounds like a little bit.
Keith, in the practice plans, you'll see though too, is they can be modified. There is on the right hand side, as you're looking at the practice plan, I'm forgetting the terms I use now all of a sudden. Let me pull one up. You can go in there. There's kind of the basic drill, and then if you can add constraints to that drill and progressions. To every drill. So what I try to do, you in mind and somebody who might have two practices a week, is not teach new drills every practice, but have a handful of drills and add constraints to those drills and progressions. It just makes it a lot easier. You're not teaching anything new. You're just adding to what you've already taught them on practice.
You're playing one-on-one. Maybe the defense is ahead of the offense. Maybe next time the offense can only dribble two times. Maybe next time, if you're doing two on two, maybe you have to make three passes before you shoot. Any kind of constraints. It's basically manipulating one drill to get 20 drills. It's a great way, especially when you're limited and you're trying to get different. I do it to do different skill sets. Like, okay, we're going to play two on two. No one can dribble with the right hand, kind of thing. So those kind of constraints are really, first of all, they love them at the younger ages, because it's just, you're just tweaking the game. But what you're doing, and they don't know it, is you're working on a skill that you want them to work on. Like, all right, we're going to play 3-on-3. Nobody can shoot until six passes. So what you're doing is you're making them work on passing and moving and stuff like that. So any kind of constraints like that can take a simple drill and make it much more complicated. All right, go ahead, Jessica. I saw your hand there. I was not ignoring you. Like some of my seniors right now in my class, I am ignoring some of them.
And they're ignoring you too, coach. So
they are. Sure. There's a foot outside the door, literally.
Yeah, that's right.
This time of year, that's probably very true.
Yes.
So first, thank you very much for you guys for doing this. I was super pumped when I was when I found out about it. So I've played basketball all growing up. This past fall was the first time I've ever coached. And so, little background history. I have a very similar question. Mine said it like Alex did. So I have a third grader. And I was asked to coach, and I'm like, sure, I'd love to. I wanted to get into it. Little did I know, though, that the league we were getting into didn't start at third grade level. It started at the fourth grade level. So on top of that, I have seven girls that have never played basketball outside of gym class. They had absolutely no idea what they were doing. So I didn't know that. Didn't know that we were then going to go up against fourth graders the entire season, that, and actually had an opportunity to go up against fifth graders because fifth graders could play down. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it was kind of a nightmare at first when I found this out, and I was like, whoa, what's going on?
Well, this is the problem is you don't want
there's not Didn't you write this in the coaching youth hoops Facebook group?
I may have.
Yeah. Okay. The problem is, here's the issue too, is you don't want these girls, you don't want to be their last coach, and you don't want them to stop playing because it's no fun. Exactly. I know, that's horrible. Exactly.
That was my number one goal throughout the entire season, was to make sure that they did not quit, or like they still wanted to play after the season was over. And I think I accomplished that because I've got them saying, if I don't coach again, they're not going to play. I'm like, okay, all right, we'll figure that out later. So, I had 3 weeks to start. Like, I literally had to say, this is a basketball, this is a hoop, this is this line is for, you know, I had to basically start from scratch. They didn't know what a jump ball was. They didn't know what a foul was, anything. So I had 9 hours prior to our season starting to get them to game ready. And I focused a lot on the fundamentals and like basically explaining everything, passing, like the basic stuff. We ended up 0-16 for the season, and we didn't win a game. We, at most in one day, we would play three games in a day each weekend, and we would at most score 6 points total. So these girls were so small at the beginning, they couldn't even make it to the rim from standing right underneath the basket. So I'm like, I'm not even going to focus on like shooting per se, because I don't think we can get form or whatever. So I have a couple questions, and you kind of touched on it with Alex on like what to work on and focus on. So I made notes of that, but what are your suggestions for how many practices a week and for how long each practice? I did two practices a week for an hour and a half each. And I, towards the end, was wishing I could do a little bit longer, like 2 hours.
First off, I'd love to hear that, but
yeah, I was thinking the other way.
Well, I know. I just said I'd love to hear it. I don't think it's the right way to do it, but I'd love to hear that. Well, and you have, like, even for you to be able to get more gym time, that's awesome. The opposite of what Key's problem is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Third grade. So this is next year. So they're going to be in fourth grade.
Correct. But I will also probably have third graders again next year.
Yeah. Well, one, you must do an amazing job of keeping their attention for an hour and a half.
So I don't know about that. That was very hard.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't do any more than an hour and a half. And the max I would do, if they're at that level, the max I would do is 2 to 3 practices a week.
Okay.
I just think at that developmental level. Now, as they get skilled and they want more and they get a little bit older, add in another one. You know, I have a sixth grade girls team, and we're going to do, and these girls are pretty hardcore though, but even so, we're doing 2 hours and 2 days a week. So 4 hours a week. Okay. But knowing them, they will ask for more, which is awesome. But, yeah. Anyway, I just think you're going to lose their attention. And I think that the best thing there too is, you know, as you'll see in the practice plans, they're short. Each drill is short. It just keeps the kids moving. 5 minutes, 8 minutes max, I think I have on most drills. So you don't want to do anything longer than that. And if they're not getting it, and I'm guilty of it, just as probably every coach on here, is just, if you're not getting it, that's your fault. Go back to the drawing board. Don't spend an hour and a half teaching the one thing because they're not getting it. Right.
Right.
You got to find different ways to teach it.
It's the TikTok. It's TikTok. It's like, keep it fast, keep it moving.
Okay.
I've noticed that over the last 10 years, even with my older kids, it's like, fast. It's like, and the problem is, it's hard as a teacher. I want to make sure they have it before I go on to the next thing. But and I'm lucky because I can have a scoreboard in my gym, but I move on. I literally have, you have to move on. So that's what keep them engaged is the key.
Okay.
Ball in their hand as much as possible the entire time. If that's possible. Yeah, just keep them moving. And then the other thing is I'm training this girl. We're doing one-on-one training and she's brand new to basketball, sixth grade girl. And I asked her, just in a conversation, what's your favorite subject in school? And she said, math. You'll love that, Steve, math, right? So I said, oh, perfect. So I started relating the game to math, talked about triangles and what kind of triangle you see on the court. And we talked about angles. You should have seen this girl light up. Right. And, you know, I talked about a gift earlier. That was a gift for her. She was so excited leaving and so excited to come back for the next one because, you know, we talked about math in basketball and that's something that she loves besides basketball. So, I mean, I say that just make sure you're relating to the kids. You're finding that gift for them.
Okay. I'll do one last question. What about offensive plays? Like this year, we basically could just master the pick and roll and that was it.
Wow.
That's, I mean, I wouldn't
good say if you did that.
They did it. Were we successful with it? No, but they knew to do it and could do it. So what else could I do?
In the coaching youth hoops, you'll see I included my ABC offense and I call it ABC offense because it's simple and there's three simple rules. So it's always be cutting and screening, always be cutting. Always be cutting and screening. Is that what he said?
Be moving. Here's the biggest issue at that age. Just make sure that they're spacing and that they're moving.
Yeah.
The ball screening, all that kind of stuff. It's like, if you can teach them to be spaced and to move, then gosh, if they're setting balls, my guys can't even set ball screens. It's like, that's great. I mean, at that age, you can keep it as simple. You can be as complicated or as simple as depending on the talent of your group. If they're spacing, you can clear out a side, and if someone can dribble well, they can get to the rim. I would not complicate with plays, especially if they haven't played much. I would keep it. The kiss value at this point. Keep it simple.
Pass, cut, right?
Yeah, pass, cut, and then get some painter's tape and put it on the floor. And these are the five X's you should always be at. So if you're not here, you should be moving to a different one. And if you teach them that ball movement, and painter's tape's good because then the janitor or custodian won't get mad at you.
Or should they on Amazon? You can go and they sell numbers.
Those circles,
one through five. So
those big plastic circles. I never like those though, because anyway, I always thought I was going to trip, but I'm old. So
They're not an inch thick. They're old, man.
I know. Well, they used to be thick in the old days. Used to be like frisbees, you know. Now they're probably really thin plastic now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're plastic.
I see another hand
stick to the floor.
All right, Ryan, you got a question?
Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I've been coaching my kids' fifth and sixth grade team the last 2 years. And my biggest problem is I don't really have assistant coaches. So, like, this year I only had nine kids most of the time. One, like, had eligibility problems. Next year it looks like I'm going to take over the co-op and become the seventh and eighth grade basketball coach. And so I'm going to go from, like, 8 kids to, like, 16.
Ooh.
And I have to do eighth and seventh grade as the head coach for both.
Same practice.
Yeah. Because there's only going to be like 4 or 5 eighth graders. All the rest of them are going to be seventh graders next year.
Number of baskets?
I have a full gym. So I've got, six baskets.
So that helps.
That helps, yeah.
That helps a lot. And how much time? A couple hours?
Yeah. Last year I did an hour and a half because they were all sixth graders. I can go 2 hours if I want to. I can do it 4 or 5 days a week if I want to. I've got pretty much free range because it is going to be going into like the IESA, so like the elementary school basketball.
So it's going to be literally two separate teams?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have an 8th grade team and a 7th grade team, but I'm going to have to probably have some 7th graders play up.
Okay. Wow. That's an interest. That's an interest. I'm doing the matrix in my head. So I think what you can do, because you're going to have to do some 5-on-5, you probably would have to, what I would try to do is maybe break up your practice, and Bill can jump in here too. I would, when you have to, you obviously can do, if you got 6 baskets, you can do a lot of skill work and all that kind of stuff, small sided stuff. But when you're doing 5-on-5, I would do it sideways, right? Side baskets. That's 10 there. Okay. And then I would rotate those 10 depending on, you know, groupings, and then have the other 6 be working on some skills at that point while you're working with the 10 on the other, going the other way.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's what I've done before when I've had, like, I think I had a freshman team once that had 18. We didn't even have 6 baskets, but that seemed to work. And then I gave them basically the people that are over here working, you got to give them specific things to work on. And for me, I usually had to make it competitive. Right. I knew they would be like, all right, well, you guys are going to shoot 3s. Who can make the most in the next, blah, 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 whatever it was.
Right.
So I think that tended to be helpful. What do you think, coach?
Yeah. And you're the only coach, Ryan.
So I have one father who comes out and tried to kind of help, but he just stands there kind of. And then I have one of the teachers who comes and she kind of attempts to help too, but she's another person who kind of stands there. So it's a lot of me directing them what to do.
It's adult eyes. It's adult eyes at least. Eyes. That helps a little bit.
So the kids aren't throwing the balls at themselves.
Right. Yeah. She has basketball knowledge. He doesn't as much. He's just kind of there to help.
Well, first up, I think Ryan and Jessica should partner up and lease some space to Keith. That would solve Keith's problem. Right? So
he's saying all 6 this gym baskets. Time. He's going, what are you talking about? Yeah. 6 baskets.
The luxury.
I know.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of crazy, too. You know, I live right by St. Mary's College in Moraga, California, right? If you guys have been around, if you watch the NCAA League tournament, right? They made Sweet 16. Anyway, they steal a lot of players from Australia, so they're doing something right down in Australia and whatever they're doing on the basketball side. So they got a huge pipeline for Australian players. But to your question, what would I do in that particular case? I would think about stations also on those 6 baskets and match those kids up by skill level. So you can run. You can kind of just rotate yourself in the middle of the gym and say, okay, we're going to work on, whatever it might be, whatever skill you're teaching, a drill you're teaching, right? And you can kind of go around or have the other parents help you go around and, you know, let the parents know, hey, these are the two or three things I'm looking for, right? And, you know, making sure that they're doing. Divide them up by skill level. So put the best kids together, you know, and then the kids that need a little bit more hand holding and a little bit more, you know, a little bit more time for development. And so that's one thing. So, but when you get the group together, as Steve said, just running, you could do at that point, what we do a lot of times is either we do 5-on-5-on-5, right? Where you get scored on, you come out, the other team runs in, because it helps them also understand knowing who they're going to guard, right? That's really quickly, like in a substitution, teaching them that. Obviously, they're running full court, and it's quick, right? They're in and out when somebody scores, and you still can get your sets in that way and whatever else. I don't know if that was helpful. To answer your question.
But that's a good way to keep them all involved. Cause that was one of my big problems, was keeping that amount of kids involved. Cause like last year at best, we had 8 kids. One older brother would come into play sometimes, and I would be out there playing with these 6th graders running the floor. And I'm 6'5", so trying to run the floor with a bunch of 6th graders looked a little silly. I was out there trying not to do
too much. It's going to be a little bit more planning. I'd take 16 over 8 personally.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially because you have 2 teams. So yeah, that's better for me. I would rather that. It's just going to, for you, you're going to have to map stuff out a little bit more and probably go side basket rather than full basket. And just like, and then, and some of that stuff you should track, especially if you're doing some breakdown stuff that you could keep track of. Hey, you two are going to go over here and shoot 20 free throws each. And then I want to know how many you make. And then you, this group is going to do this. Well, I go over here and do the, and as long as they're kind of keeping, have a clipboard or something, fill this out, you know, so keep them engaged. And then as soon as they're done, they come over and, all right, let me grab you and put you in this group and blah, blah, blah. So it's going to be a little bit more of, I always refer to it as controlled chaos, or herding the cats kind of thing. But it's just going to be, you don't want six kids standing around. That's when, you know, Johnny starts pulling someone else's hair. And then, yeah, anyway.
And to emphasize what Steve said is you're going to have to be a little bit more well-planned
in yeah.
how you break all those kids up around those baskets. So, but that's not a problem. It's just,
Bill and I can help too. When you, once we kind of get everything finalized, and it's like, oh, all right, what could this? Because I'm sure you're not the only person that has that problem.
Yeah.
Sports Social Podcast Network.